Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is the Locked On NHL Podcast. Joe DiBiase from Locked On Sabres, Mike DiStefano from Locked On Leafs, talking Eastern Conference, as always, here on a Tuesday. It's going to be more a league-wide scope, though, today, Mike, because this is probably the biggest news that we've had to talk about in a little while.
Yeah, we finally, seems like, have a return to play that looks like it might be mapped out, and we could begin some hockey.
And we'll get into that in just a little bit. But we do want to start with a couple of World Junior headlines, because that's going to be the next big thing hockey-wise that happens if you're looking for your hockey fix. And like we've been simulating games over at Locked On Sabres because we're just looking for something hockey-wise to root for. You'll have World Juniors coming up in a couple of weeks. Some pretty big news today over the last 24 hours on one of the bigger contenders from that tournament with Team Sweden. Head coach Tomas Monton and two other coaches have tested positive for COVID-19. And I know Canada's had some issues of their own. They just completed a 14-day quarantine period. Mike, though, I would think like this is going to be similar, I think, a similar process to what happened with the NHL to when they went into the bubble. I think it's coincidental, by the way, that it's happening in Edmonton, the same city. The NHL did this for the West. That they'll go through this over the next couple of weeks before the tournament starts. They'll get in the bubble, and it'll just be smooth sailing through the rest of the tournament. I guess that would be my hope, but I think that it might be fair to expect that, too.
Yeah, I would expect the same. I think they just want to get to the bubble. We've seen bubbles work not only in the NHL, but it worked in the NBA. Once they got there, there were a few positives right off the bat. And, they quarantined. And then from there, they ridded themselves of the virus. And once they got into the bubble, it was perfectly fine. So I expect the same to happen here as well out in Edmonton. Like you said, Canada just finishing up their quarantine. It looks like they'll be allowed out of their rooms today, which is kind of weird to say in 2020 that, you know, a bunch of teenagers were locked and cooped up into their hotel rooms for a couple of weeks. But, all these countries are going to have to, or all these teams from out of country are going to have to come in and going to have to quarantine as well. So, you know, that's going to have to happen like really soon. I did see, however, I don't know if you saw this, but there was a new development with the CDC about how now quarantine after, you know, either testing positive or, you know, contact tracing for quarantine, it's been knocked down from 14 to like a 7 to 10 day quarantine is all you really need now. So that's interesting. And I think that will actually be, it's kind of good news for these teams coming in from out of country.
You are seeing that also in football. Like recently, Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens, he tested positive for COVID, I think like 9 or 10 days ago, and he's starting tonight. We're recording this on Tuesday morning. He's starting tonight for the Ravens against the Cowboys. And right, like 6 months ago, you had that minimum 14 days. I mean, you were never seeing anyone with a turnaround like that. So I think that would help, of course, with all of these teams coming in overseas. And that is interesting to me, too, that I haven't thought of. And you might not even know, but like I know here in the United States, there's almost no travel internationally. Like it's on a very limited basis for like you've got to have like a reason for it that it's a necessity. So I don't know. Like I would imagine because the tournament is scheduled to play that these teams are not going to have issues getting into Canada.
They won't have issues getting in here as long as they agree to the quarantining, right? So that needs to happen. So you're not going to be able to show up 3 days before the tournament, get in a couple of practices, and away you go. These teams are going to have to show up, and what it kicks off on the 25th,
Christmas.
I think, Christmas Day. There's a couple of preseason games even ahead of time. So I would imagine it over the next, by the end of the week, these teams are going to have to already be here in Canada and quarantining.
Yeah. I was just looking at odds for this tournament, by the way. I was trying to see, because I'm like, I'm assuming Sweden, who's got their head coach testing positive, and they could be impacted. They said they're evaluating their options. I'm like, Sweden, like, right? They're a contender for this tournament. They are almost every time. I just checked the odds just to make sure. They are fourth in the odds behind Russia, the U.S., and Canada. I think that's pretty typical. And then Finland behind them. And then I almost have never looked at World Junior odds before. What's that?
Real quick, Joe. Sweden's coach has tested positive.
Yeah.
What does make it interesting is that if he tests positive, he's going to have to isolate himself. Is he going to be able to isolate himself in time where he's able to kick the disease, test negative, get on a plane, fly into Canada, and then also isolate once he gets here for an additional 14 days in order to be able to, or maybe 10 days by the time things go progress, but, you know, for an additional time and be able to still coach for Sweden. I don't know. The players and coaches who are testing positive now might be in a bit of a pickle if they intend on coming down to Canada anytime soon.
Yeah, you're right. It's not the same as if they were already here. And then it's like, you know, they'll quarantine and then they'll be fine because they're already here. They don't have the travel issues that go along with that. And yeah, like, I don't know what the law is like in Sweden in terms of, like, if you've tested positive in the last 2 weeks or the last month, are they letting you travel? Because it would be realistic to me to think that there are countries that would not allow that. So I don't know. I could click on this article. It's all in Swedish, though. So I'd have to learn the language real quick or hope someone has translated for me. So I'll see if I can find an answer on that by the end of the show, our recording here. But it looks to me, I don't see any reference to him not being able to start the tournament. But again, it says they're evaluating all options. So, of course, that could come under the umbrella of that. But I was mentioning real quick the odds. I don't know if you've ever looked at World Junior odds before, but like, I think we know this, right? Like, the countries that are at the bottom of the tournament, like, that's usually who? That's, like, Denmark, or it's, like, Austria in this situation. Or
the Americans.
It's not the Americans. I resent that. But, like, those teams, that, like, you just Norway. They never have a shot. Austria is plus 100,000 to win this tournament. Like, can I just... hockey is a developing country. I think some of the or developing sport. Like, I think some of these countries, like Switzerland, and this has happened in Finland, I think, over the last 20 years, Germany, like, they're starting to get more and more talent. But the bottom of these tournaments is still, like, you know, I get it. Like, they're participating, but the teams that really have no shot. I'm like, plus 100,000. You got to bet $100,000 to, or bet $100 to win 100,000. Like, holy cow.
In the words of Kevin Malone, if someone gives you 10,000 to 1, you take it. So if you're getting 10,000 to 1, that's essentially what that is, right? 100,000 on $100. That's 10,000 to 1 odds. I'm taking those odds. I'm going to place a wager. Please send me privately the link to this website, and I will be taking them up on that offer. Probably not going to win, but at 10,000 to 1, you always take it.
You heard it here first. Mike DiStefano picking Austria to win the World Junior Hockey Championships.
Well, I don't know if I'm making that as a choice, but for a buck, hey,
yeah,
you never know.
Yeah, it's a bet versus a pick. That's right. Coming up next here in the Locked On NHL podcast, me and Mike will go through the NHL's return to play plan. But first, Built Bar is back. The improved Built Bar is back and even deliciouser than ever. 6 new flavors to go with their 12 original flavors. The new flavors, caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia. Still love the name on cherry barcia. Lemon almond cheesecake as well. Also carrot cake and apple almond crisp to go along again with your 12 original flavors. My favorite of the original still peanut butter brownie. Bars are 100% covered in chocolate, soft and easy to chew. Great for the healthy conscious guy. Built Bar helps lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. Low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off of your next order. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano here on the Locked On NHL podcast. All right, let's get to the big important stuff on the day, which is the NHL and their return to play. And I think, Mike, the best news is that Pierre LeBrun is tweeting and reporting that the hurdle of the financial issues has basically been solved. And to me, when it comes to NHL versus NHLPA, I mean, that
I feel like that's got to be more than 90% of the tension most of the time. So to me, this couldn't be better news.
Yeah, 100%. I'm really thankful because it was getting a little dicey. Like, I never thought that we weren't going to play hockey, but it seemed like it was getting pretty, you know, the relationship between the players and the owners was not a good one. And the players dug in and refused to give up more money. And eventually the owners had to cave because they knew that, you know, they could not go through a strike. They just couldn't. And the players knew that. They dug in and they didn't cave. And, you know, now it looks like we're going to get hockey and the financial hurdles have been settled. And now we're just moving on to figuring out the schedule, which is exactly what we all wanted all along. And it's looking like January 13th is going to be the target start date. And what I find interesting is it's going to be they're aiming for a 10-day training camp. So sometime just after New Year's, they'll start. So a 10-day training camp, but no exhibition games, not a single one, which I found to be interesting.
I found that interesting, too. And the first thing I thought of were the seven teams that didn't play in the return to play tournament. And I'm not sure it matters that much because it's not like these other teams haven't also had an offseason here where they've had a stretch of time without games. But it just seems kind of crazy to me that, you know, like the Sabres are, of course, top of mind for me because of being the Lockdown Sabres host. But all those teams, Ottawa, Detroit, New Jersey, that they haven't played a game in what's going to end up being 10 months. And yeah, they'll get their practices and they'll get their training camp in, but it's like, all right, next time you're all on the ice together, like it counts. And I don't think it's as big a deal as maybe some are making it out to be, but I do think it's noteworthy that the NHL just said, we're just going to skip it.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. They probably could have done one exhibition game each, I think would have been all right. Like, you do 7 days of camp and then everybody plays one game. And then, well, I guess technically there's 31 teams. Somebody would have to play two games,
yeah.
But you know, you play your game and then away you go. I think that would have maybe been the better option. But yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think what's going to be weird to see is like these camp battles, but not with no in-game scenarios. Like, you're going to see these camp bodies who are, you know, doing really well. Like, I know, you know, the Leafs have some pretty solid camp battles that they're going to have to sort through on, you know, both on defense and in the bottom six. And now it's going to be weird because we're not going to be able to see them actually play. So, you know, as a content creator with Locked On Leafs and yourself with Locked On Sabres, it's going to be weird trying to do like some lineup projections after not seeing anybody in game action and not seeing these lines and how, you know, chemistry is building with these guys and kind of how Joe Thornton looks on the ice for the first time as a Maple Leaf or Taylor Hall as the first time as a Buffalo Sabre. It's going to be really strange, but is what it is. I'm just glad that we're getting hockey back.
How about, too, what it means for young players? So one player here in Buffalo that everyone's got an eye on is Dylan Cousins, the Sabres' eighth overall pick from last season, who nearly made the team last year out of training camp, and in part because he played so well in those preseason games. And, like, you could get make it tougher without any exhibition games, I would think, for guys that are just on the verge of a breakthrough to get their shot. Because I don't know, like, if you have a rookie like that, an 18, 19 year old, I think it'd be tough to gauge just from practices whether you think he's ready, because you could think a guy is ready and then he goes out there against a group of men and just gets bullied around. It's like, okay, this guy shouldn't be playing. And again, I don't think it's the end of the world, because I think something like that you'd find out after one or two regular season games. Maybe you bury him on the lines midway through those games, and you're not, I don't think, you know, going to derail someone's development for one or two games. But there will be young players, I think, that don't make the league this season because they don't have the preseason opportunity.
I totally agree with you. I think that's going to be a big part of it. And maybe some guys who are draft picks over the last couple of years, you know, you mentioned Dylan Cousins as one of them, but I think there's a couple other guys who may be on the cusp of making their teams where now they're not going to really have an opportunity unless they step in and play actual NHL games to start out. So it's going to be interesting to see how things shake out for sure.
Cousins actually maybe was even a bad example, because actually guys with draft status like that actually often get chances just to see because of their draft status. It actually might impact guys that were second, third round picks, guys that would be on PTO deals. It actually might affect them more than those guys with some higher status.
Well, I think like you take a look at, and I know people listening to this, like, why you guys keep talking about Buffalo and Leafs all the time? Well, because we do the Locked On Sabres and Leafs shows as our everyday show. But, you know, a perfect example for Toronto, Timothy Liljegren, right? He's kind of on the outside looking in on a job and reportedly had himself a pretty good off season, was working a lot and was out in Sweden. And when you're playing out in Sweden, there was a lot of ice because they didn't have, you know, the lockdowns that we had here in North America. So apparently he had himself quite the off season and was going to come in and try and compete for a spot in the lineup for an everyday spot. Former first round pick has kind of lost favor a little bit with the organization. And now he's not really going to have an opportunity or a chance to show out in preseason games to earn himself a spot. Now he's going to just have to kind of be a practice player and hopefully get a chance when his time comes, whether it be through injury or through just waiting his turn and trying to get a night or two out of him by the coaching staff. It's going to suck for a lot of guys who are kind of on the cusp or on the outside looking in, who were hoping to impress in camp and force their way onto a team and just aren't going to have that opportunity.
Coming up next in the Locked On NHL podcast, we will take a look at the specifics of a 56-game return to play schedule, which the NHL is considering. Joe DiBiase, Mike DiStefano back here in the Locked On NHL podcast.
Let's talk about a couple other factors of what we're hearing right now, what we're reading about the return to play. So you mentioned January 13th, mid-January is kind of the rough estimate of when they'll return to play. 56-game schedule. This is a little bit higher than the 48-game schedule that they came back in 2012-2013. And looking at the schedule from that season, the NHL began play on January 19th, and they ended up getting a 48-game season in, and they ended on time. So they ended the regular season in April. They had their playoffs that it wrapped up in June. Now, I think because you're seeing 56 games and you're only seeing a week difference between what happened 8 years ago and now, one of two things, and I think you'll probably actually get a combination of both, is going to happen. That you're either going to see, or you are going to see, a more jam-packed schedule with teams playing games in a more condensed schedule, maybe 4 or 5 games a week sometimes. And I think it's also a good chance that you're going to see the season stretch, at least the regular season stretch, beyond April. And maybe they hope the Stanley Cup playoffs is ended by end of June, maybe first week of July, because we know they can't go much further than that if they don't want to coincide with the Olympics.
Right. And that's going to be key. That's going to be number one. They do need to make sure that the Stanley Cup is awarded before the Olympics start. We don't need to get into it, but basically both, you know, CBC and NBC in the States own the Olympic coverage, also own the hockey coverage. And you bet your ass that they'll be choosing the Olympics over hockey. It's unfortunate for us hockey fans, but when it comes to business, the Olympics is far, far greater, much, much wider audience, and the NHL is going to want to be out of the way by then. Something that I just read, though, that could kind of help speed up this process or the schedule a little bit. I'm just reading now. Apparently, Emily Kaplan and Greg Wyshynski of ESPN got a sense or a reporting that the NHL could be looking at an MLB-style season where they do 3-game series with teams to try and eliminate travel so that they can do more games in a shorter time span. So I believe that would actually be an interesting little wrinkle to setting up this season, and may be able, if you eliminate travel, could eliminate some time and speed up the process a little bit.
I kind of like that, actually. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. It doesn't have to work. But, like, a 3-game series against an opponent where, like, that's just who you're playing for that 3 days, I don't know. Like, I feel like that could – right, the main goal, the main reason it would exist is to limit travel. But from a fan perspective, you get this – like, it's Bruins week. Like, you're paying more attention to the opponent. Maybe you're getting more familiar with them because it's not like, all right, they're in and they're out. Like, I don't know. I feel like not only could that grow rivalries a little bit, like if someone throws a dirty hit, it's like, all right, well, they're coming back on Saturday and Sunday too.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if you had that last year with all the nonsense that was going on with Edmonton and Calgary, where it's like, instead of having to wait 3 months for the next matchup, it's like, all right, Thursday, can't wait. I feel like that could actually help the interest of the sport this season.
Yeah, like it's kind of like little mini playoff series, right? Like,
yeah.
I think that everyone would agree that that would definitely help with the animosity of games and from game to game. I'm just curious how that would work. Like, are they going to try and go 3 games in 4 nights and do like a back-to-back, take a night off, and then have one final game on the fourth day and then use a travel day? So it's like, everybody essentially it's going to be like in 5 day periods where you have game, off day, game, travel day the next day, and then game. So you kind of go in like 5 day periods, 5 day weeks, I guess you could call it, where everyone's kind of on a very similar schedule. Like, how are you going to be able to actually go about this? The way that I'm thinking is you essentially would have to have everybody almost on the same schedule.
Yeah, that's right. And that would, I would think the arenas and, you know, going up against, you know, the NBA with any types of scheduling conflict. I know you wouldn't have like concerts and anything like that to go up against when you're scheduling out arenas. I would think from that vantage point, that could become a challenge. But you're right. Like, it has to kind of be parallel to one another. Because, and then the other thing is, like, if COVID outbreaks happen within teams and then they have to postpone games and suddenly, you know, they've got to play 3 games in a row and it's like, all right, we got to make up 2 games against the Bruins at some point. They got to make up a game against the Islanders. And like, where are we putting those games now? I think that could maybe that could throw a big wrench into scheduling that we've seen like the NFL have this year. I think the NHL would have the benefit of, you know, more games, more time, and also the ability to have games closer together than football does. They have more scheduling flexibility, but it's not like that wouldn't be challenging
to me. Yeah, like that may be something that they'd be able to do. Like, instead, if they have to cancel game 2 or whatever of this 3-game series, you know, you have game 1, you have to cancel game 2 that day, you just boot it down the road to the following day, and then you just do your back-to-back on the second half of that series, I suppose, would be one way to do it, depending, I guess, on how COVID tests come back. The other thing, too, is you know, they're starting to roll out this vaccine. So I definitely think that the sports leagues, the NHL included, will probably be first in line, like, to make sure that they get their athletes and coaches and everybody involved these vaccines, just to make sure that, you know, everyone's vaccinated and give themselves the best shot to try and beat the virus so that they can get through the season.
Yeah, and like, I know I saw Canada is going to have 250,000 doses by next week, maybe, or as early as next week. So like
something like that. And they say that the first batch are going to go to, you know, first responders, which I think is probably appropriate, but. Yep.
But your point is still valid that, like, it's starting to get rolled out.
Yeah. So, who knows?
All right.
Hopefully everything starts to work out, and it seems like we're going to get hockey now. We're going to get hockey. The financials have been worked out, and it seems like now it's just up to the schedule makers, and boy, that is a job I do not envy and do not want. That is going to be a pain in the ass.
Yeah, that one's going to be tough. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening to today's podcast. Actually, one other thing I wanted to mention with you. Did you see Greg Wyshynski's all-name bracket for ESPN? He's doing a bracket to try to find the greatest name in NHL history. And I was wondering if you had, like, a guy that comes right to your mind that, like, that's the best name, like, I've ever heard. And it could, of course, I think me and you would go deeper with the Leafs and the Sabres. Like, for the Sabres. Like, it's hard to beat Darren Puppa. Darren Puppa is just a great name.
Like, nickname or, like, actual name?
Just, like, actual name. So, like, I'm looking at his bracket right now, and, like, Frank McCool is on here. Jaromir Jagr is on here. Like, not nicknames, but, like, their actual name. Like, who's got the greatest name ever? Kale Clutterbuck is the number one seed on this thing.
Off the top of my head, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but if you give me 3 seconds and you yammer on, I should be able to pull up the article.
I'll read a couple okay. of other my favorites while while you're doing that. Guys in the league right now that I love for this, Boone Jenner is a good one. Barclay Goodrow is a good one. He's got Miroslav Shatan as a one seed. I think that is completely fair. I think if I were going Sabres, Miroslav Shatan might be the best one.
I love Miro Shatan. Funny story. So I know a guy who used to play pretty high level of college hockey, played with a whole bunch of people, played junior as well, played with, I think he grew up playing with Dougie Gilmore and a few other really good players. But the one guy he said was the best, all like skill-wise, the best player that he ever played against was Miro Shatan. Said he did skill that guy possessed was next level and possibly one of the best ever and should have been in more skills competitions than he ever was. But yeah,
it's a high compliment, though.
Yeah. So Greg Wyshynski, he played with Dougie Gilmore of Greg Wyshynski, not Wyshynski, Miro Shatan. Yeah. So played with Dougie Gilmore and all that. And he still thinks that Miro Shatan had the best mitts of anyone that he's ever played with.
Hey man, that 99 Sabres team that loses in the finals to Dallas, I mean, it's mostly remembered as being great because of Dominik Hasek. But think of it this way. Miroslav Shatan was 2 games away from being the best offensive player on a Stanley Cup winner. Like, he was easily their best scorer on that team. And they almost won the cup. Yes, it was because of Hasek. But they almost won the cup, and he was their best scorer. So, like, he was definitely the goods. He was great. All right.
Looks like I need ESPN Plus, which I do not subscribe to, but Pekka Luukkonen is one of the best names, another Sabres prospect.
The Sabres have a lot of good ones here. I'm looking at Zarly Zalapsky, another one I'll mention.
Yes.
How do you beat that? That actually, maybe that one's got to win.
Zenon Konopka was another good one.
Yep. Zenon. That's the first name battle. That would be probably top of the list. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening to today's episode. I said last week, hopefully we'll have some good news on the return to play front for the NHL, and we got it. So good. We'll start to maybe preview the season in the coming weeks, in the coming month. As about a month away now, we are hopefully from the start of the 2021 NHL season. Thanks everybody for listening today. Again, feel free to check us out on social media. I'm on Twitter at SneakyJoeWGR. Mike's on Twitter at Mickey_Canuck. This has been the Locked On NHL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.